Great to be back with you today and to welcome a guest again this week. I want to introduce you to Amy Fletcher. I met her through the vineyard. She's at the Overland Park Vineyard. Amy, welcome.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. You want to share a little bit about your background in parenting, your family, and with us?
Sure, absolutely. Like Becky said, I'm at the Vineyard Church in Overland Park, and I have, we've been here for over 10 years now, but I've been in the youth ministry role just like 5 years. But I've been doing youth ministry since 1999, so for a very long time. In one form or another, I've been involved with youth in churches. So I love teenagers, so that's fantastic. I personally have a 14-year-old who is a freshman in high school, so now I'm navigating that as a parent as well. And I have a 9-year-old fourth grader, and she is just fire and everything. Wonderfully ecstatic and excited. She is life.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you have a boy and girl also,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yep. Yes. My son's a little bit more laid back. So, you know.
Yeah. Two different parenting manuals needed, huh?
Yes, exactly. Each child is different and gets their own things.
Yes. Yes. So we are in this series. It's called Invitation to Wellness. We're looking at how God is always at work in our lives for health, wellness, for our well-being, and how that in turn, we want to love and lead our kids into health, well-being. And we've been specifically talking about last week, we talked about growing faith in our kids, just recognizing that we're in this world. We may not be of it, and yet we live in a culture, in society, in ways that we want to also foster. Like, okay, what's the kingdom reality for our kids? Mm-hmm. Grow them in that. This week specifically, Amy and I are going to have a conversation on just like the practical parts too of the, what I've called the battlefield of the mind, how we certainly know culture loves to go after children, young people, youth, the advertisements, the things that come out in just those formational years, all that our kids are seeing and experiencing. And
yes.
How do we have a voice in what, how does God have a voice in their life? What's being shaped in their minds and hearts about who they are, their place in the world, and such? So with that, I want to just, I'm going to open kind of big, Amy. What's been your approach to that in parenting and helping others in youth? How do you navigate that in the world, but not of it?
Yeah, I think for a lot of when I talk to parents and the way I've chosen to parent has been a lot of, it depends on the kid, right? You have to know your children and who they are and who they're becoming to be able to parent them really well and to be able to meet them where they're at, right? God meets us where we're at all the time. And so to look at it and say, okay, God's always meeting me where I'm at. What does it look like for me to meet my kid where they're at, developmentally, emotionally, in their relationship with Jesus? Sometimes they're not relationship with Jesus, right? How do I foster and care for that as they're struggling with that? And for us, it's been the biggest thing, even whenever they're really little, one of the biggest things was like, if you lie about a thing, it will be harder for you. Like there will be, like there's more consequences for lying because we want honest and open communication. And so as they've gotten older, that's fostered this ability for us to sit down and have really open and honest conversations with our kids. Even as, you know, again, my son's a freshman in high school, and I can feel that little bit of him, you know, wanting to kind of pull away and do his own thing. And I just make sure I make time in spaces that he wants to be. So for us, what that looks like is like there's a couple of TV shows that he wanted to watch over the summer, this last summer, before he got into his freshman year. And I said, okay, well, we're going to watch them together. And that way, if there's anything that comes up that I feel like we need to have a discussion about, we can do that. And he said, okay. And what that's led to is whenever there are other things he wants to watch, and I'm like, ooh, dude, no, like we can't. I know your friends are watching that, but that's TV mature and we're just not going to go there. And here's the reasons why. And we give him the reasons why. And it provides us that opportunity because we're as open and honest with him as we ask him to be with us. And same with our daughter. I mean, she's, you know, younger, so there's less, less desire to go a different direction right now. That will come. I know it will. But right now it's pretty easy just to be like, hey, we don't think that's healthy for you or for us as a family. And here's why. And she'll be like, okay. And just moves along.
Right.
For him, it's more his culture. Like everyone is watching this. Everyone has this app. Mom, please, you know? So we find ways to hopefully foster communication and conversation around those things, with those things. So that way, whenever things come up that are not good about the show or the app or whatever's going on in their lives, they feel comfortable talking to us about it. I've really perfected my poker face over the years. Where like they come to me and they're like, Mom, I'm really like, I've got this thing. And you just go, okay, well, can you tell me more about that? Like where did that come from? You know, like trying to ask more questions than immediately pop in with an answer
or
a solution. And even asking that question of like, I love listening to what you have to say. And I'm so happy that you brought this to me. Do you want me just to kind of be here for support, or are you wanting me to help you problem solve this? And letting them figure that out. Like my daughter is like, I don't know.
Sure.
You know,
right.
She's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, well, we'll figure that out together then. And my son usually knows. He's like, no, just listen. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and what I'm hearing that again reminds me that like to do parenting well, like it really does take time. Like, I mean, I'm like, oh boy, like sitting down to watch a show you may not be interested in at all.
Yeah.
But that's an investment you're making with your child. And you're also showing like, I want to be with you. Like in years where, let's be honest, like you said, it could be a pull away time.
Yeah.
You know, but saying, nope, let's invest in that and do it together.
Yeah.
Like, that's like great and it's sacrificial.
Yeah. And it does take a lot of time. And I'm very aware of the fact that like I am able to make the time for that. We also just we wait until his little sister goes to bed and then we're like, okay, you're a little bit older. Let's stay up late and have this time together. And it's making space for that in the time that we have. And again, part of my thing was just that I want to know what he's interested in. I want to know my son and I want to talk to him about the things that come up on these shows. You know, you're like, oh, that's funny. Oh, that was it was funny, but not funny. And so let's talk about that.
Right.
Rather than it being, and you know, and sometimes we'll pause in the middle of a show to have that conversation. And sometimes we'll wait until the end and I'll be like, hey, what did you think about this? And he'll be like, oh, I didn't even catch that. You know, like it just went over his head. So that's been, but it takes a lot of, and there are times that I don't do this and I don't do it well. Because I'm in my own space of trying to figure out things, in my life or with my job or, you know, like, and so I think it ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
And there's grace for that. And I think, in all things. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, let's go down that path a little bit. Let's talk about technology.
Yes. Just
dive into that. Yep. There's good aspects of it. Hopefully yes. you'll give us some hope in it. There's obviously challenges that we navigate as well. Help us get us our arms around that as parents. how does that work with younger kids?
Yeah.
As well as, you know, the teenage years.
Yeah. I will say let's start with positive. Let's just go right in.
Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, of course, being in the pandemic and separated from lots of people, my daughter's very extroverted. She needs lots of people in her life and she loves on them very well and they love her. And, you know, being home with just our little core family, wasn't enough. Like it just felt mm-hmm. like she really missed, like there was a part of her that was just really hurting. And so there's an app and it's called Kids Facebook Messenger. And I know people have opinions on Facebook and social media and all these things. The reason I like this one is in particular is because I am the only one that can invite people to be friends with her. That's it. Mm. Like she can't do that on her own and other people cannot find her at all.
Right. Okay.
It is all up to me inviting those people to be friends with my daughter. So at first we started with just family, like, you know, grandparents and mm-hmm. cousins, because they live on the other side of the country, you know? Mm-hmm. But the great thing that happened was she of course got really excited to be able to talk to them. And so she started spamming them stickers. Like you can go in and like choose a sticker and send to all, choose a sticker, send to all, choose a sticker, send to all. And so like, it gave us an opportunity to talk about that. Here's what you mm-hmm. don't want to do. Here's what you mm-hmm. can do.
Right.
So like, it's that coaching opportunity of before they even get real social media to say, here's how you can use this. And here's ways that could be really not good in your relationship with these other people.
Right.
And so that's been really great. And the nice thing about it also is that they can kind of do a video call as well. So as we went into the pandemic, we invited some of our close family friends that have kids her age to be friends with her on there. And so she could get on with them. And like one of her best friends, I think there was a day that they talked all day while they were just doing things. Like she went and got lunch, took her little Kindle with her.
Device.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a teenager, right? But like
yeah.
at the same time, when I was in a space of like, okay, I'm just with my family all the time and I still have a job to do and they still have school to do. And I like, there's all these things going on. Mm-hmm. It provided a space for her to have community mm-hmm. that she wouldn't have had otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so that is one that if parents are concerned about their children navigating social media well, that's a great starter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and you can have it mirror on your phone. So like I can see everything that she does and sees. And I get like a weekly report that tells me how long she was on, who she was on with the longest. But I can have every sure. message sent to my phone if I want.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that mm-hmm. ability to be really transparent and see what she sees. So for her, that's been my favorite tool so far for younger social media. And again, it provides that community whenever we just didn't have it. And now it's just it's something that we use as a coaching opportunity for her because she's, mm-hmm. you know, 9 and like, when do I get a cell phone? No, we're not doing that yet.
Right.
Yeah. With my son, kind of like in the summer, whenever we were watching shows, we slowly started introducing different social media platforms. And we have safeguards in place for all of this, but every safeguard fails in one way, fashion, or form. Nothing is perfect in that realm. And so we really took the time to talk to him about what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, just in general, and then talk about more about like, what does it look like to live a life with God online? What mm-hmm. what are you what are you putting out there? And remember, the internet is forever. Like,
yeah,
I'm right. Glad it wasn't there when I was a kid. But at the same time, it for us, for him as a teenager, I downloaded every app that he was going to want or need, or desire, like months before he downloaded it, before he would be allowed to have it. And I played on it. Like, I would genuinely go through, figure out how it all worked, play with it with my friends, like figure it out. So whenever he did download it, I could say, hey, here's the things that I ran into. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to make it to where I can always see your stories. You don't ever have a hidden tab. Like all of those things. So he knew what my expectation was within that app. Cause I knew it. Again, this takes time. It does. And it's hard because for a while, my husband and I talked about, like, what does it look like for our kid to go through high school without social media? Like, is that beneficial? And for some kids, it could be. And for some kids, it's not. For my kid, like, I expect the minute, if we said no to social media, the minute he turned 18, he'd be downloading all those apps anyway. Or he'd be trying to hide them from us now. And for me, again, I'd rather know my kid fully, like who he is in this moment, the good, the bad, the ugly, than not know him and have him hide things from me. I mean, teenagers in general are going to hide things, period. But it's a phase. They get through it. It's okay. but, you know, for as much as I can, I want to be a part of his life and understand where he's coming from. So for us, like, I let him have TikTok after I had downloaded it and played with it a while. And so now we send each other funny TikToks or TikToks we think each other would think was funny. And so we have this shared common experience, this shared language even. And so sometimes he'll just say something to me and I'm like, and my husband's like, where did you guys get that? I'm like, TikTok, because he doesn't play on TikTok. But it's a great way for us. And that is one thing I will tell parents. If you're going to let your kid have social media, you get on there and understand it first, however long that takes for you to be comfortable with it. And then friend them and communicate with them within that app. Like, connect with them in that way. That's what it's made for, right? It's made for connection. So connect with your kid on that app. Be a force in their life, in that platform. Don't let that go. Like, it's not just for friends. Like, be a presence in that space. So those are kind of the things we did as a family.
And what I hear too, Amy, is like really holding tightly to both what we've really called this whole podcast, like, hold to the love. Like, I'm going to love you through social media, keep invested in that relationship, participating in it. Even in the years, like I said, where kids might want to move further away, as a parent, you stay present and loving them. And I hear you saying, like, and use every safeguard that is available. Like, don't be stupid too. Lead them
and through it. And don't be deceitful about it. Like, your kid needs to know. Like, that's my big thing. Like, I told my kid, I said, we're putting these safeguards in. Here's what each of them do, and here is why. And we have, like, he has an iPhone. And so within that, you can set up a parent code. And within that, you want to make sure that they don't have screen record on. Because if they have screen record on, they can get your parent code, and then they can change your settings. All the things. All the things you learn. And that was not through experience. That was me doing research online. Like, hey, if I get my kid this kind of phone, how am I protecting them? And I tell them, we have access to this, this, and this. And also, we can, at any time, we can be like, hey, I'd like to see your phone. And I literally go through every app and I just, mm-hmm. and, like, I play on his phone, you know, mm-hmm. And I tell him, I said, tell your friends, like, your parents have access to your phone. Cause you don't want them to be caught in that either. Like, you don't want to be duplicitous with your friends either. But you know, I mean, for us, that's been the way we've handled that.
Right.
Again, we still have safeguards in place. You know, apps and programs that do things. But mostly it's about communication with him of this is what we're doing and here's why. And we really want to protect your heart in this while still giving you freedom to explore this arena of life.
Right. Right.
That is going to be a part of your life for the rest of your life. Like it's not going anywhere. So let's learn to use it well.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that culture of open and honest, like you're leading with that as a parent, we're going to be open and honest with you. And that's what we expect in return from you. Like that's our family value. That's how we have relationship. We're going to be trustworthy. Like when mm-hmm. we say something, that's what's going to happen or, you know, why we do that, and it brings respect, right?
Yeah,
that's how absolutely. We respect each other. And that's how we can have that expectation that like you reciprocate this then in the relationship.
Yes.
Until we've, you know, and you're going to have failures along the way in that and seeing those as the teachable moments.
Yes.
But so Amy, so you've given us like the Facebook Messenger for kids as a safe app. What are some other like safeguards, a few that you could just name out loud for listeners that they could look into?
So some of the apps and programs that you can use, I've got four of them. So My Circle, Screen Time, Bark, and Family Link. Bark is great, not so much on Apple phones. So it's mostly Androids, but it does work. And Bark, the nice thing about Bark is it can... within like text messaging, it can tell you, you can put up certain words. So like, if you think that your child is struggling with depression or anxiety or things like that, you can also put in code words to kind of monitor that to see if they start talking about self-harm or any of those things. So it's not just protecting their eyes from seeing things. It's also saying like, okay, how's their heart? So those have been some that either I have used or friends have used. There's also one for your Wi-Fi router within your home called Griffon, GRYPHON, Griffon. And I think there's also Disney Circle that does that as well, to where you can, within your Wi-Fi connection, kind of have some barriers there. So it's not just on the phone, it's also through the Wi-Fi. So the Wi-Fi ones only will work in your home. So that's not a great, you can't just have that one. Unless they're only using it in your home, which is fine. As far as apps go, the kids' Facebook Messenger is great. As they get older, I mean, they're going to have ideas as to what they want. And again, nothing is, if it's out there for them to connect with other people, there's always going to be risk involved. Like there just is. And so you kind of have to make that decision with your family in mind and your kid in mind. Some apps that I really like that are more biblically based. There's one called Lectio for Families, and it's like morning devotions, which is really cool. And it takes them through like a Bible verse and a prayer. And it's beautiful. Bible Project now has an app out. It's fantastic. Love that. YouVersion has an app. But YouVersion also has ability to connect with other people. So you can do Bible studies together. And in that, I know that I have heard from other youth pastors that there has been people that can connect with you. And of course, there's always people out there to make it bad. But you can monitor it on your own kids. There's also one called Cultivate, and it's a devotional one as well. So those are kind of some of the devotional, like biblical type of things that I would recommend for students and kids and families. Real quick, two online resources that I highly recommend. One is called Axis, AXIS.com. And their whole goal is connecting parents, teens, and Jesus in a disconnected world. So they put out like technology guides and they're all digital. So as something new comes out, they update it. And they have different articles and things that they come out with all the time. I genuinely, one of my favorite places to send parents is access.com. The other one is called START, and it's an acronym. And I think they're on Facebook, but I think they also have a website. And it is for Stand Together and Rethink Technology. And their whole goal is to develop healthy norms, values, and training for tech use. And I personally know the people that started this up, and it's just fantastic. It's a group of parents and leaders and tech wizards that like know things and are able to kind of help you guide you through what it looks like for your kid to have like a normal and healthy relationship with technology. So those are my two big ones. Those are my favorites for like, if parents are looking for resources, I send them to those two websites.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so fantastic.
And one thing I just want to say, Amy, and I don't know how it works, but I think just even the safeguard of how much time you're on the device, or this is when the device gets locked up on top of the fridge and nobody's on the device.
Yep. Yeah. We have, it's locked down from the time they get home until they're done with homework. Cause we struggle with focus. And then it has a bedtime. And it gets shut down at a certain time, and it's in a place where my husband and I can get to it, but they can't. And one of the things my son was concerned about whenever we had a bedtime for it was, he was like, okay, but like, are you just going to go through my phone overnight? And I was like, we might. And so then I realized he was really like that autonomy and privacy part of becoming a teenager. And so I said, would it help if I told you, like I'll still do it in the moment. Like, hey, hand over your phone. I'd like to look at it right now. So they can't get rid of anything. But like, also to say, hey, like once he turns it in, be like, hey, just so you know, I'm going to spend some time on your phone tonight. Just so that way he's aware and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's part of that just communication piece of saying like, I'm not trying to do something behind your back.
Right.
And he wasn't trying to get away with anything. It's just that like, I need to have some personal, like he needs to have some personal space. And so recognizing that and allowing it to be. Yeah. So all of that is good. There's screen time. Screen time is always a great thing. And you can set screen times for particular apps as well. So like if you only want your kid to have, you know, that app available from this time to this time during the day, you can set that up. So those are some really good options there. Yeah.
All right. Well, Amy, we have 1 minute left.
And
I just want to give you space to like, if you, you know, had 1 minute to encourage parents today on this topic, what would you most want them to know?
Okay. God chose you to be your kid's parent. And that's an amazing and beautiful and wonderful thing. Just as he loves you, he loves them. And the way in which we love our kids is, I want to know my kids. So get to know your kids, encourage open and honest communication, and ask questions. Like, it's okay to be annoying to your kids. Like, ask a million questions. Cause then they know you're interested and you're there and you're present. And isn't that what we want? We want to, like, we want to know that God is with us. So be present with your kid, ask a lot of questions, encourage open and honest communication and perfect your poker face as they get older.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you, Amy.
Yes. Thank you. This was a lot of fun.
Yes. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.